Hello and welcome to the CGW Quiet Storm. I was trying something different. It didn't really work, did it?
Worked in rehearsal.
We got a laugh there.
Smooth jazz.
Not so much the second time. Welcome to CGW Radio for August 7th, 2006. Not really much happened this week that I could think of. Nothing of any import, but we're going to have a podcast anyway, and with me are the Computer Gaming World editors, which are as follows.
Ryan Scott, brought to you by Microsoft.
Darren Gladstone for Windows.
Sean Elliott, proudly independent, defiantly independent.
And Sean Malloy, and I don't have any addendum.
And I'm Direct Jeff 10. So we're going to talk about the big news. We'll talk about our other things, like what are you playing, and we may play a little game later that we talked about. You guys up for that game?
We may spontaneously write a
preview for you as we speak, yeah. Round robin style.
Let you in on the process.
If good. There's time, just to show you how we write previews here at CGW. But first, we're going to talk about the big news that I assume everybody listening to this has heard about, which is that we sold our soul to Microsoft. And how do we feel about that, guys?
We love it.
I'm sorry. I was too busy counting my money. Yeah.
Dead silence. Okay. Well, let me rephrase that, shall I? We made the big announcement that's been in works for almost 1 year now, which is that we are rebranding ourselves, as they call it. The magazine that was Computer Gaming World will sometime in the near future be the official Games for Windows magazine. What does that mean?
Minesweeper on the cover, Solitaire to Blowout.
3-page review of Burble Place.
Burble Place?
You better get your facts straight before you do that.
I thought it was a free cell cover first.
Oh, you're right.
They weren't ready to talk.
I think the exclusive went to GameSpot on that one.
Those developers are bitches over in the free cell team. These guys wouldn't give us any good shots.
It was all just empty playing fields with no cards on them.
Yeah, such bullshit. Okay, we're already. We can't do this. Okay, so we want to talk about what this means to you, Ted Gamer, what it means to us, Ted Journalists, and what it means for CGW, and I don't know. What does it mean? Do any of us have anything to say?
Well, there's been a lot of speculation on the web in the past week since we made the announcement, and I guess, I don't know, the one pet peeve I've had since is that a lot of people made this wrong assumption that, oh no, CGW is dead. It's all over. The legacy is done. And I don't know, it seems like it's anything but. We're just going to be in more places.
Right. We could back up a teeny bit and explain what all this means. What this means...
Keep your shoes on, though, man.
I'm just pulling my socks up.
Jeff's over here pulling his
yeah.
motorcycle
I'm
going to
strip while I talk. It's a performance art thing. What happened here is that about 10 months ago now, CGW, actually folks above me at Ziff Davis, but still on the editorial staff, so this was an editorial-driven decision. Let's get a few of the basics out of the way here so people understand. This is not Microsoft buying the magazine. This was not Ziff Davis giving Microsoft money. In fact, no money, believe it or not, has exchanged hands between anyone.
Nor will it.
This was not a financial deal. This was how this started. It started from our end here at Ziff. And people on the senior editorial team were frustrated by CGW's newsstand presence because the feeling was... that the magazine had come, had made great strides editorially and was actually better than ever. And this is not me just blowing smoke up my own tush, but this was actually the way it was described. And they believed in the magazine more than they ever had, and they wanted it to appear on more newsstands. For those who don't know, we actually make most of our money and we have most of our readers from subscribers, whereas on the newsstand, not so much. So the idea was, well, let's give CGW a better newsstand presence. The problem is and was that once you have a certain newsstand reputation, it's hard to get beyond that. So in other words, if Target says Well, Target, do they carry magazines? Whatever. Let me come up with a better.
They got magazines.
Yeah,
they do.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure. That's a good
Target point. Says, well, we take two copies of CGW a month, and we sell those too. Even if Ziff Davis is all gung-ho about CGW, you can't go back to them and say, hey, take 10 now. They're better. Because Target will just say, no, we're happy with the two. So we had basically hit a wall, newsstand-wise, because of that. And so we started scheming, well, what could we do? What can we do to increase CGW's profile? What can we do to take this magazine that we know is good, that we know readers are going to like, but actually get it out there? And so the scheme was hatched to come up with an official or to have CGW get this official tag in the same way that OPM had become the official Sony magazine for PlayStation and OXM was the official magazine for Xbox. The thought was, why can't the PC have an official magazine and why can't that be us? And this happened to coincide happily with Peter Moore, the head of Microsoft's Interactive division, his plan to increase the profile of the PC as a gaming platform. So it was sort of a happy synchronicity between these two things. Am I boring you guys?
No.
Need more jokes, man.
More jokes? I know. I'm sorry. This is a history lesson part of the podcast.
This is good. This is what everyone wants to hear.
I just want the straight story to be out there because there is a lot of rumor and innuendo and basically misunderstanding. So I want everybody to get this. We approached Microsoft and we said, hey, we have this idea. You guys are interested in making the PC more legit as a gaming platform, and we have this great PC gaming magazine that we think can help you out. And so it was basically seen as a win-win for both parties here. Microsoft would be able to have this this magazine that they could say represent, you know, that would further sort of add to this message that they were taking PC gaming more seriously, and we would have the official branding that would give us extra legitimacy and, more importantly, exposure on newsstands, which is what we want. If you write for a living, the most important thing to you is that people can actually find your articles to read them. So those of us who spend every day here working hard are frustrated that when we get mail from you guys, which we do all the time, saying, I can't find CGW anywhere. Well, that gets really old after a while. We want you to find CGW. We want you to find our articles because we spend a lot of time working on them. So we made this deal, and that's basically what it boils down to. Part of the deal, if we wanted to be their official magazine, was we had to take the official name of the platform, which fortunately or unfortunately is Games for Windows.
It is so sexy. That
we could have a more interesting name. It's true. I might argue that Computer Gaming World, not the most dynamic name.
Yeah, it's an old name.
But it has been a name for 25 years, so there's that. You know, when we were first talking to Microsoft about this, a lot of us here were arguing, well, can't we just be Computer Gaming World, the official Windows gaming magazine? You know, can't we keep our own name? And of course that's what we would like to do because none of us here in this room here, I think, are happy about the CGW name going away. But that was the hard part of the deal for us, was we lose the name. We lose the name, but we gain a ton of potential readers, which is all anybody in the magazine business ever wants. That is kind of your boring history lesson of how it went down. And you guys...
And there was that gleeful moment where we were throwing our own names around, thinking that we would be able to, that it would fly for us to call it whatever we wanted.
Yeah. I was
hyped for WASD, which will be my own private WASD. Zine. WASD, yeah.
Right.
Will be my zine name now.
I'll be Blue Screen.
Yeah. Blue Screen of Death.
That'll sell well. That's like a dartboard. That's not a magazine name, dude.
GPF, man. General Protector Fault.
Maybe the back page can be Blue Screen of Death now.
Control-Alt-Delete of the month for like the worst game.
Yeah, so, you know, so the other big question, of course, is... I was about to burp.
Please don't.
Sorry. That's a little bit of a verb. We might have to edit that out.
I'm going to have to report that error now.
and we were so trying to be highbrow, and man, we were close.
Let's talk about the big thing, the impartiality issue. Okay, because obviously that is the question. It's certainly not a new question. This is the question that the guys at OPM and OXM face all the time. Are we going to be beholden to Microsoft now? Does this mean that Zoo Tycoon 3 is going to get, you know, 6 out of 5 stars now from us? Are we going to be afraid to say how we feel? Is Microsoft going to tell us what to write or pressure us or control us? These are all the questions that we're getting. I really don't want to do a monologue here, so somebody else talk.
Answer him, Darren.
What? How about reviews, Chief? How's that? Reviews honcho,
I guess
Ryan
that
Scott.
Makes sense. Well, the answer is no.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All those questions, no.
I mean, we have, like, we drew up, like, this big, huge, like, 20-page legal contract, and that's actually part of the deal, is that
right.
Microsoft cannot interfere with our editorial decisions.
We're 100% editorial and editorially independent.
We are not required to like Microsoft products, and we will tell you.
I mean, we've had a pretty consistent history of it. Like, you know, age three, we were the only people that actually called out,
right?
You know, that game for what
that's
it was.
That's right. We gave Age of Empires 3 just about the lowest score it got.
And we got endless amounts of crap from both Microsoft and Ensemble about that, right?
And then we reviewed the patch and did it again.
Right. We gave the patch probably a worse review.
I think so.
But the cool and important part of that is that that's part of what Microsoft respects, and that's partially why they went with us. Actually, I didn't really tell the rest of the story on the deal. Was that we came to Microsoft and we proposed this deal, and we even made a mock cover. Back then, it had a cooler name than Games for Windows Magazine, but whatever we called it. Oh, actually, we just called
it's
it
like
Windows Gaming Magazine. Yeah. Okay, slightly better. At least it didn't say 4. It's that 4 that's the killer.
Yeah.
You know, what other magazine has 4 in the title? Food for Eaters. I don't know. Just
Weddings for You.
There's a couple adult magazines that might have that, but.
Yeah.
For Him.
And
FHM. I don't want to talk about that.
FHM, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, but it's an acronym.
Yeah.
Oh.
So we mocked up these covers, and Microsoft said, oh, man, this is a great idea. This is awesome. Thanks. Yeah, we'll get back to you in a little while and see if we got a deal here. And then they went away for a while, and when they came back, they said, this is such a great idea that we're actually going to take it, and we're going to float it out there to various publishers and see if they're interested too, and then you guys can bid on it, which is standard operating procedure in any business. You know, it's like an architectural contract, right? You know, you get bids for who wants to do this deal. And so Microsoft put this out there to different publishers, and luckily for us, they chose us. And the reason that they cited, and again, this isn't just me BSing, they'll actually say it publicly themselves, is because of our editorial content. They felt that we had the smartest and best content, and that's what they wanted to be part of. That's what they wanted to represent PC gaming. And that includes our policy of being, you know, pretty tough on games. So Microsoft isn't really interested in just doing a snow job magazine. And in fact, if that's all they wanted to do, they have the money that they could have done that themselves. You know, if they just wanted an in-house organ to speak the Microsoft party line, they were perfectly capable of doing that. What they really wanted was a solid, you know, smart, independent voice on PC gaming.
So now what we're asking is, having said all this, is that people give us the benefit of the doubt and wait and see and then judge themselves. So if all of a sudden in the magazine, you know, CGW, which is, you know, moving to Games for Windows, you start seeing, just because the game's on the cover, we start saying, hey, this is probably the next World of Warcraft killer. We say, this is a likely contender for Game of the Year. None of these things that we've ever said, things that we just don't do in our editorial. If that kind of stuff starts popping up, then you've got a case against us, you know.
I mean,
at least a concrete case.
Yeah.
And I'm convinced that each of us have our own watches. I'm in, you know, doing radar, and none of that's going to happen under mine. Ryan's got his. Darren's got his. You know,
I think we all have pretty like level heads on it. And like when it comes down to it, when you see the new magazine come out, it's going to be the same damn magazine. It's just going to look a little better, and it's going to have a different logo, but it's all the same people involved.
Right. So let's talk about that. Microsoft. You know, we made this deal. We drew up a contract, and now we're about to make a redesigned magazine here with a new name. But in fact, It's all the same editors. It's the five of us sitting at this table. It's the same art team. And we're basically making the same magazine. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've been meeting about it because this is our opportunity to do things differently if we wanted to. But in fact, we're coming back and we're pretty much going to have everything that readers already expect.
Mm-hmm. I mean, any changes we do will be on our own. They'll be of our own initiative and this and that. But like you say, we don't want to come around and do an about face, especially when we know we have a bunch of loyal readers now. We want to show them that, you know, hey, we're definitely the same people. We're mm-hmm. up to the same things, and that, you know, any new things we introduce are things that we'd have wanted to introduce regardless of what we're branded, you know.
That's right. In fact, we haven't received not one shred of either order or even request from Microsoft as what to do. They're basically like, well, keep doing what you're doing, guys.
Right. I mean, it's just here's our logo, you know. And
the logo and the name is the one thing that they're foisting on us. Yeah, I totally think you're right. You know, the proof's going to be in the pudding with what we do here, but I think all five of us here are the type of people that would basically, you know, probably walk if we started getting, you know, I mean, if I come to one of you and go, hey, you know, this preview of Flight Sim 10 is good, but, you know, you really could be pushing it a little harder, Sean.
Right.
I was talking to Bill Gates the other day, and he doesn't like the angle you're taking here.
And those are things we're used to dealing with those. It's not going to come out of the blue because it doesn't take Microsoft branding to have to worry about these kind of issues in the games enthusiast press. So a lot of times you got a story with someone, again, no, don't get nervous, anyone around the table. I'm not naming names, companies, or anything, but they will say, we've got this idea. We have these goals for this product. And it's always in terms of promotion and product, whereas we see things in a much different light, right? And sometimes things will get pushy and they'll say, well, you know, we're not going to give you this if you're not in keeping with this. Mm-hmm. And every single time a scenario like that has arisen, we've said, okay, well, we respect that. We're just going to drop the coverage on it. We can't operate under those conditions.
Right.
And then in more cases than not, almost all cases, they turn around and say, okay, that's fine. We'll do it this way or that.
I actually can't think of any case where they said, oh, okay, they just walked away from the table altogether.
Right, right. I mean, you hear about it in the building, certain, you know, when offers are made for first review covers and stuff like that. That's something we're entirely free from because we don't do first reviews partially for that reason. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we've heard the cases where, you know, hey, we're not going to commit to give X company the first look if you can't tell us what the score is going to be in advance.
Right, right.
That's just all stuff that CGW has nothing to do with, and we're not going to have anything to do with it. And so it's not – but being exposed to those kind of pressures isn't going to be something new either. We've all got excellent track record in dealing with it, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know – not that Microsoft's going to do it. I mean, we have no reason to believe they will. But just in general, trying to reassure people.
There's a good chance that they might, right? Just like every other game company does, like you said. You know, sometimes we'll try to make a deal for a cover, and we'll get the deal, and they'll say, well, we really think that the cover should show this because that's what we're trying to push. And we have to say, yeah, well, guess what? It's our magazine.
You know?
If you want the coverage, then we make the cover. And it's entirely possible that 6 months down the line or a year down the line, someone at Microsoft's going to say, hey, you know, we're really trying to push Rise of Nations 3 and we'd really like a cover on that. Well, that's going to be kind of, as far as I'm concerned, a case of the game better damn be good then and worth our while.
Right.
And I mean, if it's not, screw it.
You hear
it's not
that, going on you cover. And Darren hear that sort of thing plenty with looking at features, you know, but from other companies, hey, we've got this game. You've got to look at it. It's great. You know, we're really interested in promoting it. And what you do now is you say, well, let's have a look at it, see what's going on, what's the context, and then you just make that decision. Mm-hmm. But entirely based on your own hairs on your own neck,
right.
You know.
No, that's the way it's going to stay.
Yeah. Right. Now, I don't want us to sound, I mean, I don't know how we're sounding here, but I don't want it to sound like we're being defensive or that, you know, we're protesting too much. But, mm-hmm. you know, it's just that... This is what's the story of our life for the last week.
Right.
And we knew it was going to be a big deal. And so if you're listening and you're dismayed by what's happened here and you know, you can't believe even what we're, you know, even after hearing all this, you still think we're just sellouts. I hear you. You know, I think we all do. We all understand what this means. And again, what we're saying is like, just, you know, don't write us off yet. See the issue, see the first issues, and see for yourselves if we're holding up or not, you know. But, mm-hmm. but you know, you have to look at it as not just, you know, one evil corporation, you know, made a deal with another evil corporation. What you have here is you have, you know, five guys who are basically just like you, who play games. We just happen to do it for a living. And we're interested only in, like, talking about those games and telling the truth about those games and having fun with them and joking around. I don't know what that was. That was Microsoft me. Listening in. Yeah. We have a problem in Sector 5. Jeff Green's mouthing off.
Customer service to the sex transformation chamber.
And, you know, we're... All the conspiracy stuff just doesn't actually relate at all to our day-to-day existence here. And if you, a listener, were on our magazine, you'd be in the same position,
but
too.
But it's an interesting position for us to find ourselves in, because I think that there is an innate and very healthy skepticism for anything branded official. In the same way that, like, say, all of a sudden, you know, Car and Driver is suddenly a Ford automaker's official Car and Driver.
You would take any article with a grain of salt.
You know what? Actually, that's something I was just talking to some random people about this over the weekend, and I think that to the enthusiast, you know, readers who, you know, the hardcore gamers, the, you know, official doesn't have quite the street cred. But when you look to the mainstream readers, I guess, you know, more people who could just reach Art Magazine.
Yeah,
they actually turn to that and go, oh, it's the official magazine. I want to read that one.
Yeah. Well, that's the feedback we got in focus groups from folks who don't read gaming
magazines.
It's
like the official Marvel superheroes.
You know what?
It's not the Henshaw in Mexico Spider-Man that's got, like, purple webbing. It's like the official Marvel superheroes.
He is muy caliente from what I hear.
Yeah. I mean, I'm hoping that we're not going to lose our longtime readers who we love. I'm going to understand it if we do, if people just, like, I can't handle the branding or whatever. There we go.
Dude, wait, if you do another buttercup.
Now the old CGW is still going to be there.
Microsoft isn't going to let me do that.
Clearly, this guy is not on Microsoft's payroll of this kind of PR. A buttercup every, 10 minutes now?
I can't have Diet Coke before we podcast. I think that's
disgusting.
I don't know. I mean, well, I'm just going to throw this one in. I mean, I've been reading the magazine since issue 2, and it broke my heart a little knowing that the name had to change. But in the end, I think it's going to be for the best. And I mean, we're going to keep ourselves honest, but it's also the job of the readers to stick with us and keep us honest.
Right.
And, you know, as long as you keep the dialogue open, just, you know, tell us.
It is. Yeah, it's going to be interesting, though, because say, for example, you know, Microsoft Game Studios' next game is legitimately and truly stellar.
Don't even get that.
We are always going to be in these binds, right, because of it. And,
well, then
and
we
that's
give it
the
PC
trade-off.
Gamer.
That's what comes
I'm so
it.
Scared of that.
Well, like, you know, you'll see it, you know, Metacritic and all these other things will shore us up in these cases. Mm-hmm. But it's just something that happens. I mean, that's the price that comes with officialdom. You know?
Well, we'll just overcompensate and give it a shitty review anyway. We don't care what they say.
That's right. The H3 expansion is going to suck no matter what.
Yeah. I mean, you do set yourself up for ad hominems in a way where they become, you know.
Well, it must happen with OPM and LXM all the time, right?
It's got to be, I mean, interesting to those guys too, especially at OPM. I mean, I can't vouch for the other guys. I don't, you know, don't follow them too closely. But I mean, I know in OPM, they interview Microsoft people. They're very harsh. And they had a cover story on why the PSP is bombing. So clearly they have, you know, they in my perspective and what I've read, they have a pretty good track record of making it clear that they're not, you know, on Sony's payroll.
Mm-hmm. In fact, my understanding is that PSM has a better relationship with Sony.
They do. Actually, it's kind of funny. Like, there's still this perception that OPM is totally on the take because they're official. I remember I got a call of all things from a reader, like, asking me a question and then brought up OPM, and they thought that OPM is not trustworthy. I'm like,
that's going to happen to us every day for the rest of our lives.
The official word.
And in the same way that all of our, you know, rival publications are going to rebrand themselves as the
fiercely independent,
fiercely independent, unadulterated, unswayed, you know.
Right.
But again, the proof is in the pudding. I think when the time comes, you can compare us page for page, and I'm absolutely convinced that certain things are going to be pretty obvious.
So am I. I don't think anybody in this room here is going to start, you know, sucking up to Microsoft. And if they do, then, you know,
I have a down payment on a raise. I have a down payment on a house.
Microsoft's awesome.
Yeah. Ryan's the one with the career advancement in place. What do you think, Microsoft? What do you think, Ryan?
Microsoft, Ryan.
It's obviously, we're not antagonistic toward them, but not anymore, less than any other company that we've been working for, working with, sorry.
There's a slip.
You didn't hear anything.
Huh?
Said you didn't hear anything.
But I don't know, I guess I'm just kind of reminding that we are in a certain mode right now where we've had the past, 4 days to stew in the worst the internet can throw at us. And so we are kind of in a defensive mode right now, especially, some of us, you've been in touch with all this from the beginning. And some of us, like me, it's kind of like, I come back from visiting on the cover story and then all this is blowing up and I'm getting all these aims from other people in the industry that I'm friends with. Mm-hmm. And they're all like, Darren, when we were away in an undisclosed city on this cover story, his sidekick starts blowing up, hey man, why'd you sell out? But everyone's asking me, like, how do you feel about it? And it's because the people that are writing me and know me are assuming that, like, because of my temperament, my way of working, that I'm going to be fundamentally opposed to it, So they're all writing me these sort of like condolence things, like, hey man, are you
right?
I've been getting for the work,
thing. Hey, wait a second, you're making me sound like everyone thought it was going to be a sellout. You son of a bitch.
Well, we know Darren's okay with this because he'll probably get a free Xbox out of the deal.
Darren, they're just sending you like, hey man, can you get me a hey, copy of what's that?
I want a copy of Halo 2. Oh, 99 Nights.
I've basically spent the last 6 days just like searching all over for message boards, bringing the hate to us and trying to talk to people. And I only lost my cool, once, twice?
Like twice, maybe.
Three times.
Yeah.
A moron.
Wasn't even that bad.
Yeah. But, it's nothing we didn't expect. This is a big, big deal for longtime readers of CGW. We know that. I guess I should also say I had a pretty nice exchange with Johnny Wilson, who was not the first editor-in-chief. Actually, it was the second, but I think he's the name most closely associated with CGW's past. And he had been interviewed for a website who I don't want to name by name because I can't stand them. But he offered words that were, they were a little kind of bitter about Ziff Davis selling out the name in a way. I shouldn't say sell because there was not money, but getting rid of the name CGW. And he and I had a back and forth about it over email, and we basically got his best wishes. I mean, he certainly is a businessman among all other things, and he understands the good that this means for us, because when he was here, we were already behind the eight ball newsstand wise, and he understands what this means. Also, I should say that really you can think of it, any PC gamer can see this as kind of a cool thing for PC games, right? I mean, you've got Microsoft, first of all, on their own, trying to pump up the platform and make it more legit.
Pump up the platform.
Play.
And having an official mag is part of that. It's a way of sort of just like elevating this to the level of Xbox and PS2, which those of us who've been PC gamers forever appreciate.
Elevate the art form even higher yet, like sculpture to Chia Pet.
Yeah. That's exactly what
Is he
happening.
Mocking me?
I had to throw that out there.
I
shout out for Chia Pets.
I've probably overly blabbed here about this topic.
No, I think
it's
this is the hot topic right now. I mean, Ryan could tell us about Guild Wars. Or we can...
Oh, yeah, screw it.
No, Eve Online.
He's talking about this. Never mind.
This is what people listening to the CGW podcast want to hear. So.
Yeah, actually, I do think we're probably going to keep talking about this for a while over the weeks, and I do encourage your questions to us on the message board.
Right.
Bring them on. Don't be afraid to ask us the hard ones, because we got nothing to hide here. We're not blowing smoke here. We're going into this with our eyes open, and we're pretty happy about it, actually, I got to say.
Other easier-to-answer questions have been, is this the end of the podcast? Is this the end of, some of their favorite columns in the magazine? And the answer to all those is no. It's going to be – won't be CGW Radio, but whatever we call it, it's going to be the same.
Sexy time.
Your favorite
Windows.
Columns remain.
Tom and Bruce will still be there.
Tom and Bruce are still there.
They'll just be doing Minesweeper every month. But hey, they'll be there. So that you can't have everything.
Kind of funny.
That would be a funny way to kick it off.
Do the first one.
So many people would not get that, though.
They wouldn't.
Oh, my God.
Imagine if you just picked up, you know, you had no history with CGW. You pick up a magazine called Official Games for Windows, and you look in, you see a three-page story on two guys playing Minesweeper. And no matter how funny these guys are, I mean, you'd have to get, I don't think you'd get to the part where you actually read what they have to say about it. You'd see Minesweeper screens.
Yeah.
Yeah. On the rack.
You know, there's lots of PC games that look worse than
Elf Bowling.
Especially the new Vista Minesweeper.
Oh, yeah, the new Vista Minesweeper.
You play the 3D chess game.
It's Titan Chess 3D.
Titan Chess 3D, man. That's hot.
Yeah.
I just stifled my third burp, by the way.
Good job.
You might as well, I mean, are you, how can you just, you know you're on the air and you just come in and I'm going to release. That's like your wife's got her friends over for night, for dinner or whatever, for some kind of meeting.
Pull
and you
finger.
Just walk into the kitchen, grab a beer out, tear ass, and then just in your socks casually walk back into the bedroom.
You're criticizing me?
I'm just asking if that, I mean, that's,
well,
that's
no,
what
I wouldn't
getting
do
from
that
this.
In front of my wife's friends.
Okay. But in front of your listeners, though.
Yes, I will.
You'll do
will
it right in their ears.
And the best part is it's like in stereophonic, like.
Yeah, okay. That's almost like a skin fart.
Okay. I'm ashamed Whoa. Now. To everyone listening, I'm sorry I burped.
I had to bring it there. I'm sorry.
I really
and you had to bring it
I'm
up
really
there with
sorry.
A skin fart.
And in fact, somebody on a website said that that's what we do. That we tell, you know,
We're
bad jokes.
Skin fart
podcast.
In your face every week.
Sure. And there I went and I burped. I proved them right.
That's right.
We're too lowbrow here.
We are the Howard Stern. Okay.
Ryan, bring us back to seriousness. That look on your face.
Okay, Ryan, say something
happy.
Intellectual.
You are not pleased.
And that's intellectual.
How would you describe your feelings at this moment?
Yeah. Johnny Wilson would not have burped on the podcast.
Right.
But he would have talked about Kierkegaard.
He would have.
Yeah. That's the thing. I think there's a place for, look at Joyce, there's a place for burps and farts no matter how highbrow you go.
Yep.
True.
Anyway, that's my ultimate justification. But
right, my burp was an homage to Ulysses.
Okay.
Okay.
Anyone else stuff to add to the Games for Windows legacy?
I guess we could talk about timing a little bit. Right now we're looking at the December issue of what would have been CGW being the Games for Windows issue. Unless we have a further update for you here, that is how it's going to be. So we're actually working on October. Right now.
Mm-hmm.
October. So we're talking about two more issues of CGW as it was, and then Games for Windows magazine being the December issue.
Right. I don't think many people have seen September yet, so that's three.
Three issues of CGW to go. So you have lots of time for this all to settle in and rattle around in your brain. Remember how we all hated and made fun of Wii?
Wii.
Maybe this will be another one of those. Maybe no
I think any
care.
Name, no matter how screwy, can become commonplace. I mean, it gets to the point, like any word, you know that fundamental disconnect?
Yeah.
Where you're like, you say any given word enough times, you're like, what does that even mean?
Absurd.
Mm-hmm. So I will absorb it. I mean, America absorbed Yu-Gi-Oh and all these other Pokemon and nonsense names. And, you know, this one's obviously not Japanese-based, but...
Well, hell, I mean, Microsoft 360, we laughed at that when it came. I mean, I laughed at that when it came out.
Right, now it's just totally...
Now it's just accepted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
360, dude, totally around the world! Woo! Spring break!
That's
like, no matter how you slice it, though, Games for Windows doesn't roll off the tongue.
Right.
Yeah.
You know? We had, in California, the 360 Burrito. It's the name of a taco chain.
I want to see where this goes.
Well, I'm just saying, think of that 360 burrito. Like when you go, hey, man, I need a 360 burrito. Anyway.
But how does that help us?
Just because.
We need it.
They got people to say that with a straight face. Or like Denny's items.
We got it easy comparatively. Moons Over Miami.
Moons Over Miami, yeah. People
Moons Over Miami,
that.
The official magazine. Done.
Guess we don't got it so bad after
They got
all.
People. If people were hungry, they ordered it. They said it right to the server.
I ordered that.
Totally. Rudy Tooty.
Just so I could say it.
They're hungry.
However, that could be another thing we could ask the listeners. If you have a better name for the magazine, put it on the MS.
That'll be the first mail bites.
Shecky.
Oh,
the magazine.
Yeah, for the first issue. You can
Shecky?
Shecky the magazine? Mm-hmm.
There's your first one.
There you go. That's my vote.
Ryan, do you have any ideas for a magazine name?
Hell yeah. The magazine.
Something with ninjas?
We were talking about calling it Live.
We were talking about that.
Live.
That's way too Xbox, though.
GW.
That's kind of why.
I was actually voting for GW.
GW.
That was one I was getting behind. That way we could fool some Republicans into buying it, too.
The answer not.
Live could have been because of Live Anywhere, right? But then I thought if people would pronounce it Live, and then they would think it was like some, you know, retired person's magazine.
Yeah. They all have a different perception.
I want to live. I'll buy this magazine.
It's all about cryo tanks and
here's the latest review of the Cryo 2000.
Why are all these games in here?
Ginseng.
So maybe
potions.
Maybe we're better off just going to games for Windows.
It's pretty straightforward. You know what you're getting.
Of course, you know, the big argument is Microsoft is pushing this. This is the name of the platform. But is anyone going to call it that? I mean, we could say this now while we're still CGW. I'm just kidding. We could say it then, too.
If they're successful, I mean, and we've some of you, if you have seen the kiosk that they're starting to roll out where, you know, you've got boxes that say the same thing. You've got the sections, and then you can go up and play a demo PC kiosk. And I mean,
but what I'm asking is you're in the store with your buddies, and you're trying to decide which Splinter Cell to buy. Say you're going to go, hey, you going to buy that for Xbox or games for Windows?
What about...
Like you're going to say PC, right?
That's true.
Well, either say PC or maybe just Windows for sure.
We'll see.
What about, are we going to see the first TV ads for games for Windows? I mean, when was the last TV commercial you saw for a PC game? I don't watch that much TV TV.
Well, I usually TiVo right past them. But I think like any time you do see a commercial for a game, it's usually like a multi-platform deal. So they'll have like a billion logos and like...
Oh, dude, the late night. Have you seen the late night one for Star Wars Galaxies for the repackage?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Are you serious?
It's just, it was tragic.
It's almost like a Ronco commercial, you know? Now for only $19.99. It's like, save the universe, be a Jedi. And then like they show like all
get
these
some hair
other
to can.
Really?
Arts games. Yeah, you can get, I mean, yeah, the was... other, no, SOE games that you get in the big package.
And that's not all.
Yeah, but it's
only
light. Instead
of... Don't get Planetside. Matrix Online.
Instead of the of CG, you know, and the overblown stuff like the Call of Duty ads and the Final Fantasy ads, it's just straight like...
Straight in-game.
Like, this is it. Yeah, like, no lie about it. Like, this, yes, this looks like butt, but this cost butt, you know.
Come on, it's $20.
But they come say on. That? Sure, it looks like
looks
butt.
Looks like butt. Costs like butt.
But you get to be a Wookiee.
I wonder if that was successful. I don't know. It runs really late night, too. So it's like the fools that are, you know, calling the sex lines and stuff are like, God damn, that's cheaper. That's cheaper. $19.99 in one payment.
I could have this phone sex or I could get John Taylor's Gettysburg.
As a Wookiee.
Oh, no, sorry, wrong game. Oh.
Nice.
I'm sorry, Mr. Tiller.
Whoa.
I don't know where that came from.
Yeah, what is that?
I don't know.
You're trying to save it.
I don't know.
Microsoft told you to say that.
So, Microsoft, they're trying to brand Windows as like the big platform, though. Right?
They are.
Right. Trying to get us to call it Windows instead of PC.
Well, we do call it Windows. But, I mean, but it's the gaming part is that I think the problem.
Doesn't quite roll off the tongue, yeah.
Right. I mean, I've never said I play a game for Windows.
Yeah.
Well, what if you just
I guess
said,
I will now, though.
Well, I guess.
Change that to soon enough.
I think maybe
Ryan
the logic
plays Guild
is...
Wars in a window. Okay.
I mean, are you ever going to say, oh, I'm a Windows gamer?
Well, I wouldn't say I'm a Linux gamer.
Well, that's true.
Or a Mac gamer. Although technically you could play Windows on a Mac, but whatever.
All the lines are blurring.
Yeah.
Mass hysteria.
That's why Microsoft wants to unblur them.
You can have games on Windows on a Mac, and it'll still be games for Windows. It won't be a PC.
That's right. I'll be reviewing Macs in the magazine when I see that new iMac come out. I'll tell you that much.
So what are we going to do about our Linux coverage? That's right.
Yeah.
Actually, I was kind of curious. Before the podcast, I went over to tuxgames.com to see like what kind of, you know, hot new games, new hotness they have up there.
Uh-huh.
Among the top 10 lists is like Alpha Centauri and...
Right.
You know,
actually, I think the other magazine should follow suit. You know, so PC Gamer could be like the official Linux gaming magazine, and Computer Games could be like the official Mac gaming magazine. So we all, you know, represent a different platform. That's my challenge to those guys.
You know, like
they'll take you right
hey,
up.
Hey, we've
that, like,
stepped up.
Aside,
I've seen there's some people on our forum who have asked, like, what about like Mac and Linux games?
Right,
it's a great question.
I can speak from experience on the Linux thing since I was a big Linux fanatic for about 6 years. If you're playing games on Linux, what the hell is wrong with you?
And there you have it.
That'd make a great box quote.
What the hell is wrong with you?
Ryan Scott, Games for Windows Magazine. I've never played a game on Windows.
And as far as Mac games, I mean, I don't know.
I was a Mac gamer back in the day.
Just Photoshop.
There's that
count?
One that I want to that I really want to play, actually. And I saw it reviewed on Game Life, the internet video show,
Right.
And it, what was it? It was like Wingnut 2 or something.
Wingnut 2?
But it looks like a 3D, like, you know, update to the old 1942 style game, but with like using the full graphics power of the Mac, and it looks pretty cool.
Hmm. All right.
Hey, you know what?
We can
the Mac
that.
Used to have some great games. The Marathon series.
I'll review it. Hook me up with the Mac.
Yeah, Bungie was all about Mac.
Bungie was a Mac gaming house in the old days.
Wasn't this same?
Yeah.
Descent originally, I think, started on the Mac. Yeah. I think you're right about
had
that.
Its day.
I mean, I started on the Apple II and worked up from there. I just, at some point, like, when did like Mac gaming just screech to a halt? I mean,
oh gosh, well, it's been a long time now.
Probably like what, 86?
No. I mean, it went on longer than that. I mean, when I started at CGW in 97,
yeah,
it was like still did some Mac stuff. I mean, Interplay had their Mac Play division.
Mm-hmm.
There were still at least a few, not many.
Yeah, I'm just trying to remember. Like, I remember up until like 93, I was playing stuff on an Apple.
I think the answer to that question actually is that, you know, we don't really cover that stuff anyway, right? I mean, the amount of pages we've devoted to Mac or Linux games over the years is what? One page total, maybe?
If that.
And that same kind of sterling coverage is probably what you can expect in the new Mac.
Which is just to say that, yeah, I mean, if you're a Linux enthusiast, you weren't subscribing to CGW for
those
needs in the first place.
That's right.
You
know? We weren't
nothing against it, but
you.
It's just like it wasn't the magazine for you in the first place. So it's not as though the change is going to suddenly leave you out in the cold.
Right. I mean, if we were covering, like, you know, Mac and Linux stuff beforehand, and all of a sudden, magically overnight, our coverage dried up to become the official Games for Windows magazine, then yeah, I'd say we're sellouts.
Right.
Right. And in fact, a lot of the internet comment is saying that, you know, when people reason it through, they're like, well, gee, I guess that's all really they covered was Windows gaming anyway. Or Games for Windows, I guess I have to say.
TM.
The other thing that added, I think, to the conspiratorial slant to this whole announcement is that it was, what, you know, a week after E3 kind of transformed into whatever it's going to be this next year, you know. And so everyone's looking at these for, you know, signs of importance. It's like the cover for National Enquirer, you know. Nostradamus says that this is the end of the world, you know. So this is foretelling the next big industry crash or something. So I don't know. I've seen a lot of that. I mean, it's people definitely putting them together. E3 down, CGW down. Like, it's like, what's next, you know?
Right.
Well, actually, the thing is, and there was something else that kind of got under my skin too. There was like this flawed reporting that was out there last week that we was trying to combat it, that saying how not only did we change our name, that we're getting free computers from Microsoft. Man, that would have been great.
That was totally news to me.
That
was
where, like, that come from?
Yeah. Right.
Where did that come from?
Well, you know what? That came from, Jason Cross was talking about on the quarter to three threads. How
Jason Cross, again, is...
With Extreme Tech. Who also does our tech section some of the time.
I know. Just for the readers.
For the readers.
The listeners.
For the peoples.
Yeah.
No, but what happened was he was talking about how Microsoft sent us... not just us, I should say. They sent people basically the equivalent of debug PCs. It kind of a standard test bed for testing out Windows Vista. And we got one. CGW got one. Extreme Tech's getting one. 1UP. PC Gamer has one on the way. Even the original places that reported this are on the list to get these machines.
Right. And just, again, for clarification for readers, magazines and websites that cover PlayStation games and Xbox games and Nintendo games, they get developer boxes so that they can look at games while they're still in progress because they wouldn't run on commercial machines.
Right.
And so this was Microsoft's way of doing the same thing with the PC. They were telling all of the media outlets, not just us, that in order to run Windows Vista for testing purposes to be able to write about it, we're going to have to give you special machines because your current PCs can't run it.
Well, actually, I think the message they were they weren't actually saying that. What they were saying was
they weren't saying that. Never mind what I had to say.
Well, no, what they were trying to say.
Oops. Wrong. Damn it.
No, actually, what they were trying to say was they want to have a standardized test bed so they could, you know, say, here's the experience you could expect with this level of machine.
Okay.
So it's a controlled test group.
A controlled test group, right. But that got misinterpreted online as CGW became the Microsoft magazine, and now they all get free PCs, which was ludicrous.
I'm still playing on a 9800 for the record, so.
I'll hook you up.
I know that's supposed to elicit pity. Like, a lot of people are like, dude, give it to me when you upgrade.
I have a 6800.
Oh.
Yeah, see?
Yeah, but you've got the NVIDIA, though.
Yeah.
Anyway, I have.
Now I'm going to just hit up my buddies.
We're about at the same. We're in the same level.
I have a water cooled turbojet. So that really pissed me off this weekend because I guess as a former hard news journalist, I guess whatever. I mean, I actually fact check my source. You know, my sources when I write before I write a story, and you just go up and like, I guess the problem with websites, blog sites, whatever, is that you're in such a hurry to get up online and scoop everyone else, you don't bother doing your basic reporting skills.
Mm-hmm. Well, the few times that I've lost my temper or patience this past week since the announcement has been for that exact reason. It's when I'll read reports online and basically they've like interviewed other people and, you know, not me or anyone at Ziff Davis at all. And it's like, hi, I'm sitting kind of right here on email on the phone. And if you had a question, you could have asked me. And actually, I'm still putting that out there. If anybody out there is like running a website or any kind of source and they have questions, you know where to find me.
Yeah, we're all pretty easy to reach, so send a question.
Just making an easy one.
So when do we get the free PCs?
Next week. Yeah.
On their way.
All right, have we done enough of this for today?
Oh yeah,
I think
suppose
so.
We have,
but like we've been saying, please keep asking us questions because we're all open about this, and I think over time we can all see this as a good thing. You know, the one big bummer here, there's just no denying a long, great, awesome history for the CGW name, but the bigger picture is we're still here, really. Same magazine, just a new name. The name itself's being retired, and that's it. Yeah. Until they throw me out.
The last question for a couple of weeks down the road is that people have is, how are we going out? Are we going to give the longtime readers a little something special, a little something, something?
I'm thinking I'm thinking Slim Pickens riding the bomb on the way down.
Yeehaw!
The final page.
That's a good question. Do we do a big goodbye CGW or not? I don't know.
But people keep writing in.
Yeah.
Tell us what you want.
Tell us what do you
want
to
see in the final issue of the magazine called CGW?
Just know we're not going to give you all the stories of favorite interns and this and that.
Right, we're not going to, you know, do our own horn tooting stuff. Yeah.
I mean, there's stuff that we could do, like we were talking, like, I mean, if a big magazine like Rolling Stone or something hits an anniversary mark or something, and they take a serious look at what defined the magazine over the years or something, I think that's cool. But if it just use it as a chance to pull out whatever bric-a-brac and anecdotes we've had sitting around about.
We could bring other writers in or game developers.
Mm-hmm. Well, we did a great
job. That might
tell
be cool.
We
get developers and let other people say what they thought. That's a fair way to do
about
it.
Me.
Enough about me. What do you think of me?
Right. I think that's probably a pretty cool idea.
Good title for the article.
Well, I mean, actually,
I'm sold on this. Let's do it.
Done. Book it. No, actually, we actually did this for issue 250. So, I mean, like, we did a great job then, and I wouldn't mind revisiting that before we go out and go out.
If they want to talk shit, tell us what they had wished.
Call us on reviews.
Maybe we'll bring Johnny back. Huh?
Get Johnny in there?
Exactly.
Exactly. That would be good.
Okay.
It would be an interesting read.
Let's try to do that.
Yeah.
All right.
So you just sat in on the editorial meeting.
How does it feel?
Yeah.
That's how we work.
I think actually we got more accomplished right now.
Should we let Viederman write something too?
Yeah.
Love you, Greg.
Love you, buddy.
Okay. No, really, I do.
A little too much.
Now it's getting old.
Now we're getting a little loopy.
He's sexy. Okay.
So let's move up,
Let's move on. Did we actually, besides this, did we actually play any games? Probably quickly. We've been talking a long time already, like an hour.
Ironically, yes.
Ironically,
I played a freeware game called Flame War this weekend.
Perfect. Was it good?
It's part of the experimental gameplay project.
Just like real life?
Just like real life. No, actually, it's kind of funny. They have like levels are broken up by websites. There's like somethingawful.com and slashdot. And you go through these, and basically the idea is it's like a first-person shooter perspective. So you actually have like this flame jet that comes out of your character, and you have to flame other people.
Wow.
It's kind of weird, but it's like a dopey little game, but I thought it was kind of fun. And it seemed appropriate.
Torch them all.
Ryan?
I'm playing Eve.
Still playing Eve.
And by playing, I mean I'm logged out while some skills go.
Oh, you mean you're playing right now?
Yeah.
You're still doing that?
When was the last time you logged in?
Interesting news story on the GM in Eve Online who was caught basically hooking himself up, hooking his character up.
Oh, he had like a one-month-old character with a bunch of stuff he there was no way
that it would have taken years to have acquired. Yeah.
So what they do? So what do they do? Them just kind of kicked him off. That's it. You're fired. Or is there more?
No, they're still trying to get the stuff back, which is really crazy. Like reacquisition. Like they got virtual repo man in their own game. You know, it's like it's not like they can't. All right, we'll delete you because it would like alter the economy or something. Because the stuff. It's like we need to get this stuff back.
So is there some kind of
legitimately exists in this universe? So we've got to like reappropriate it. Do what we want.
Can't they just
and then we can like
delete those bits and then.
Do they need like
type in new ones?
And they're not killing his account, which sounded really. I mean, it's kind of cool depending on the way you look at it. It's like we were going to take the stuff back. He's obviously not going to be a GM, but he's going to just have to be another yokel with a 1 month old account.
So this is like a glitch in the Matrix.
But that's a good way of punishing him. You know, it's like people walk by and then he's in his little like crappy starship and they're like, hey, you're the fool who ripped off all that stuff, you little stupid punk.
So they blow him up. And now he's a prime target.
Yeah, they blow his ass up.
So is there some kind of like interstellar repo man like in a tow truck that's going to come over and try to like jack his gear?
Well, yeah, awesome. You can set bounties on people in the game as well.
I wonder if there's a lot of people
quite
doing
a few
that.
On him right now.
I bet.
And that's the stuff that makes me think that that game is rad. But if it really just amounts to a bunch of like
progress
you type
quest.
In all this stuff in, so it's basically fanfic. You know, we're talking about like Repo Man cruising through these rad 3
God,
star
how
systems,
awesome
blowing stuff up. And really, it's
out
like
your group, and a truck pulls up.
Yeah, really though, it's just like
you
someone typing.
Slacker.
Hey, can I please? Hey, please, can you send me that starship back along with the 40,000 your token credits? And
please. is Ralphie a repo man in this game?
We really need
Ralphie,
it back.
Man.
Ralphie's not here this week.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, you know, I tried to play that game. I don't want to diss it. Well, I don't want to, but
you're about to.
Well, I downloaded it. I got my 14-day account. And the tutorial for that thing's like 2 hours or something. It's like endless.
I told you,
I'm exaggerating.
No, it is. Did you get out of the hangar?
I got out of the hangar. I finally got my ship. But as soon as you get out...
That little meter resets
it puts you right back in. Like, the hangar finally opens. You're going, yes!
It's like
finally, I get to be in space. And now they go, now let's practice docking.
Mom, yeah. Can I go
No! I just got outside! Come on!
You're asking your mom to go out and play all day. And then she says, well, when you do the dishes. And then she opens the door.
Yeah.
She's like, it's like... Come on back in.
Or it's like, pitch black. Come on back in.
You forgot your shoes. Yeah. So I had to go back in the hangar, and really, that's when I gave it up. Like, screw it.
Ryan, sell us accounts where you've already gotten psyched in and out of the hangar. We'll start from there.
Yeah. Can I just skip it? Can I skip
you
the tutorial?
You could.
Would you recommend it?
It's probably something you need
Has
to
it
go
helped
through
you?
Once.
Like,
I mean, it teaches you.
I learned
a few things, but you know, I wanted to play a game. I was like sitting in like tutorial school.
You have to learn how to fly your ship.
At least, you know, there's
whatever.
But there's a lesson. Like, how is it that, like, you know, WoW can get it done so seamlessly and you don't even notice it, and yet there's a game like Eve.
No.
Oh, okay.
No burping here.
I'd stop burping.
No, but I'm just
saying, you shamed me.
No, I'm here in Phantom once, man. Sorry, Darren.
That's okay. I was just gonna say, it's just kind of funny how like a game like WoW can do it so well, and you don't even notice it happening. And then you start playing
right.
And you're like,
I was thinking that while I was playing it, you know, that while I was playing, in quotes, while I was in EVE
school.
Online school, I was thinking, boy, you know, they could have just let me, like, fly around and give me things to do and teach me as I was flying. Lesson 4, getting in your spaceship.
Chapter 4.
I don't know.
Well, the funny thing is I've heard.
There will be a test.
I've heard that the tutorial now is light years ahead of what they used to have in the game.
Oh, that's God.
Light years.
Yeah, light years.
I don't know. I mean, I could see, you know, I had glimpses of how this could be fun, like an MMO in space or whatever. Cool. Hopefully someday I'll get out of the hangar.
Well, the really crazy thing is like when you start, I know it showed you like the market and how to buy stuff and all that.
When
you really start to understand the nuances of the economy.
See, that's another thing.
That's
too.
When it.
Within the first 15 minutes or so, I'm like, they've got like 3 windows up on the screen and they're saying, here's where you'll sell your titanium ore for this or whatever. Shouldn't they just put you in the spaceship in the first 5 minutes? And let you fly around. Like, that's what Blizzard would do. And then they would introduce you to the market shit later.
Naturally. Like, you someone know? Would come up and say, hey, do you want to deposit your titanium ore?
Right.
And you'd be like, all right, okay. And then you do it.
Yeah,
you'd
it was like getting a lesson in market economy within the first 5 minutes. It was just...
It's a pretty dense way to start a game, that's for sure.
It is.
It's like reading the Fodor's Guide to North Korea before you take your trip or something.
Yeah, just you want to get people into it.
Photos going to North Korea. You know what? I want that book. I want to know the places to visit.
That's a good box quote for EVE Online.
Complimentary Kim Jong-il badge.
Don't forget to check out the Taipo Dong while you're there.
Well, the first couple of times I tried the game, I felt the same way you did. I was just like, screw this, and stopped in the middle of it. Mm-hmm. But once you get all the way through it, once you suffer through it once,
yeah.
You know.
I do believe you, and I don't mean to harsh on this game that I haven't been able to play yet, but I haven't been able to play it because the tutorial's so goddamn boring. So I guess I am harshing on it.
It's hurting me just hearing about it. What are you playing, Darren?
And then the game is a lot less daunting than the tutorial makes it look. Like the tutorial,
I think we can then say the tutorial has failed.
The tutorial makes it look a lot more complicated than it really is.
Spin
the tutorial,
it, Ryan,
needs
spin
a tutorial.
It.
Yeah, how to play the tutorial.
You're gonna need that spin practice once we become games.
Is there like a strategy
Windows.
Guide for the tutorial?
Yeah, Sean, what do you think?
How about you, Sean? Buddy?
I'm doing the same. Like Ryan's doing the same old. I'm doing the same old with Battlefield. Except all I do now is pilot a helicopter with my friend Rory. Uses his godly TV missile skills to shoot down jets and stuff that are trying to take us out.
You were doing that last week.
I know. It's like, but now it's like we moved to taking out the slower jets in the Armored Fury expansion to taking out like the J-10s and the super fast ones and like the Chinese maps and Cooper Dam. But it's just fun. It's like where every time you play, it's like, oh man, if we had this on video. And then you just like, it starts so much awesome. It just basically ruins the game. Once you do it to at least one person, then they're like, and you say like pwned or something just to be a smartass, just because you know it's going to like establish this stupid, I know you are, but what am I thing. So every time if he ever gets a kill on you, he's going to say pwned immediately to like get his, you know, give you your comeuppance. And so they do this and it's like they hit you with a ground-based stinger and they say pwned and you get all elaborate like, no, like it, you know, the stinger is the wheelchair ramp to Battlefield 2. It's like all you had to do is point at us and click the button. You know, we had to do all this stuff to get you. And then they go, and so once you undercut them, you just like guarantee that you're going to hear them yell at you every single time they get a kill.
So you're griefing is what you're doing.
No, it's just playing. That's just like
playful
good
griefing.
It's like good talk. You know, it's good.
Yeah.
It's good crap talking in game. Mm-hmm. So that's what I've been doing.
Mr. Malloy?
I'm also doing the same old, doing WoW. Played more of the movies.
Oh,
I actually made my first, like, in-game movie.
Ah!
And it was absolutely absurd.
What was it?
I think it was called WoW! W-O-W! Exclamation point. And it was about...
Was it about...
I hit the random name generator.
Wow, that's what I call the movies.
But, like, the disconnect between the movie making and the actual simulation part is like super apparent because it was just a mess. It was like there was like a safari girl who was like a lesbian who got into a stagecoach who turned into a werewolf and then
this
aliens
is your
came.
Movie?
Yeah.
This sounds awesome.
Sounds like a great indie
well, film. That's why it was called WoW.
UA Bold.
Okay. And, that makes sense.
After it was all over, it was just,
UA Bold involved?
It's just a crazy mess and then like it gets released and like the critics in the game, you know, the quote critics, mm-hmm. they all love it. And it's like the highest grossing movie of the year.
That's
and
I just because they were on the take.
It'll play in Peoria.
So I'm just like, well, I didn't even really try. I was just slapping things together out of a test. And like somehow this came out as like the best movie of all time.
It kind of sounds like the best movie of
it
all
had
time.
Everything.
So really lesbian did. And monkey women.
Werewolves.
And there's coaches. A stagecoach.
Awesome.
Come on.
Train, you know what? That has it all.
A subway chase, I think.
So it was like an action, western, zombie, lesbian, what else?
That's like my dream
Sounds
movie.
Like Gary's Mod.
It's kind of like a Brotherhood of the Wolf if you saw that.
Sounds like my life. Brotherhood of the Wolf?
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like Darren's Saturday Night. Wee-hoo, rimshot.
But yeah, I mean,
I'll be here all week. Unfortunately.
Try the veal. You'd be beautiful.
It was kind of fun to do that, but like, then once you release it and realize it, all that effort... But if you actually had put effort into it, it really wouldn't have mattered.
Oh, you wouldn't have done any better.
Right.
So, I mean,
it's the number one grossing movie of all time.
They love you no matter what you do.
Well, now you got to try to make like a legit boring one.
And maybe I just got really lucky. Yeah.
Right.
I could try that.
You might have just like pinged every single thing that, you know, that they've programmed to the critics.
Like those Sega CD Make My Video games. You ever played those? Where like it's Marky Mark and you get this little family
make
saying,
my video.
Okay, I want a clown and I want a train and I want
don't forget Chris Cross.
Everybody dance
yeah,
now.
The CNC Music Factory. Like, I want popcorn and I want a picture of Minnie Boop. Make my video.
But you've hung in there now with the movies. So so are you liking it? You gonna keep playing?
I'm liking it. I keep playing it. It's something compelling about it and I can't quite figure it out. It seems like when I'm playing, I can't really find a good stopping point because it's like, oh, there's always one more thing I should probably be taking care of.
So it's more of the sim side than the actual movie-making side, or?
Yeah, I mean, the movie-making, like I said, is, seems like it could be fun. It seems also like to make something good, like I need more time than I really have because it's pretty, you can do some pretty complicated stuff with it. But we'll see. Still playing. More to report.
Cool.
One thing that I'm not playing yet, but I want to play, I got to give a shout-out to the mod makers at Fortress Forever. Maybe if anyone's interested in playing basically not a straight remake in Source of Team Fortress Classic, but something that's more or less close with a lot of tweaks, get on their website at fortressforever.com and yell at them because they said that their beta is going to go public this week and they need all the encouragement they can get that we need to play this game now and let them iterate on it later, but get us playing now.
Give them a shout out. Yeah. All right. Definitely looking forward to that one myself.
Cool. Are we done?
Well, we don't have time for reader letters at this point. I mean,
yeah, we've been talking a long time.
We're at an hour right now.
We're in an hour.
Save up the reader questions for next time?
I think so.
We'll probably have a whole good batch of reader questions after this podcast.
I bet.
It's not that we don't like your questions now. We're just tired.
That's right.
We still have to write a magazine at some point.
Yeah. But so we hope you liked this extra special edition in which we tried to, desperately convey to you that we're not sellouts. And we'll be back for more next week. Really, please send us your questions. We want to hear them, and we want to answer them. And we will see you again next week. Goodbye.
Should we sign off with Alt F4 or something?
Or Control-Alt-Delete.
Control-Alt-Delete. Never mind.
Silence.
Can we do quick sign?
We got to get rid
of
it.
I want you to sign
out.
We got to
get all those crappy Microsoft jokes out of our system.
Visualize the Hencho in Mexico Spider-Man toy. Hold that thought, and we're out. We're out.
And
we're
done.
Out.